encouraging word we've had from God's precious word. I'd just like to, for a very few minutes, continue looking at the book of Nehemiah. And I'd like to refer to a few scriptures involving walls. I'm not a stone mason, I'm not a bricklayer, but my mother had several brothers that were stonemasons and bricklayers. And over the years, I had a chance to see their handiwork. And some years ago, our brother Don Villasoli came to our house and helped me put in a wood stove. And a year or so after that, it was left somewhat unfinished. It was functional. But I had an uncle, an unmarried uncle, that came and lived with us. He was a bricklayer by profession. And he helped me. I shouldn't say he helped me. I helped him a little bit. Put up a very impressive brick wall on both sides of that fireplace. If I had put it up, it wouldn't have been straight. You would have seen the results of my incompetence or my lack of training. But everything was exact, straight, plumb. We're told in Scripture not only to be careful what we build with, but how we build. And in the book of Nehemiah, there's concern with building a wall. And it's a wall around the city. But if we go to the book of Deuteronomy, which occurs before Nehemiah, there's instructions given when a new house is being constructed. These homes had flat roofs, and often a lot of the daily activities took place on a flat roof. If there were vegetables and fruit to be dried, it was spread out on that roof. If there were children that were sent out to play, they were sent out to play often on that flat roof. But there is specific instruction in the book of Deuteronomy about constructing battlements or a wall around that house. And it should be something that we as parents and grandparents should be very concerned about, constructing battlements around the roofs or walls of our homes. But let's just look for a moment concerning some of the builders on the wall. In chapter 3, the high priest. And we see that there was failure on his part. It seems that he was engaged in some aspect of the work, and perhaps he did some work. But as we read further in verse 21, it says, after him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, another piece from the door of the house of Eliashib, even to the end of the house of Eliashib. So it appeared that Eliashib did not build the wall in front of his own house. And as we referred to this morning, we saw through intermarriage that led to a very deplorable condition found at the end of the book of Nehemiah. But it's encouraging to see some that are building in verse 3, but the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. And these were necessary then, and they're necessary now. And again, we see some that did not apply themselves in verse 5. It says, next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work. You know, at school, we're always told to lead by example. What were the nobles to have done? They were to have led by example, which they seem to fail to do. But we see another case mentioned here where it says they built earnestly. And we even see the daughters of an individual also engaged in the work and in the building. Now I'd like to just go over to the book of Proverbs for a moment. And there's some very practical instruction given in Proverbs. The wall fell under disrepair in the time of Nehemiah for a particular reason. And we're going to read now about another wall that fell into a state of disrepair for another reason. And if we look at verse 30, it says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down.
What chapter, brother?
That's chapter 24 of Proverbs. Again, verse 30. So what a deplorable state this was. The wall hardly could have been found. And the stones were broken. The nettles had covered the face of the wall. But then he goes on to say, in verse 32, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. How often do we look upon things that are not right and kind of gloss over them, and we don't receive the instruction that we should get from looking at a particular situation? What a blessed state to be in, to look at something and to receive instruction. There's another way that a wall is viewed in Proverbs chapter 25. And it involves our own spirits. Verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Walls were built for protection. And I've had the privilege to travel quite a bit in Europe. I've been to some old cities in Germany that were walled cities. And in some cases, those walls were 10 or 12 feet thick to provide instruction. I've also been to some castles and cities in Romania that were walled cities. Even a number of the churches and monasteries had walls around them for fear of the Ottoman Turks or invaders. But those walls were there to provide protection. And so here we have another practical word concerning having the rule over our own spirit. I'm not going to elaborate much on that, but it's something that we each have to consider. And let's also turn to the 8th chapter of Ezra. not Ezra, Ezekiel, I'm sorry. Ezekiel, chapter 8. Was profaned and touched upon that at the end of Nehemiah. And in verse 6 it says, he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. He said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men, 70, number of responsibility, of the ancients of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up, and said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, and the Lord hath forsaken the earth. And he said unto me, Turn thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. We don't have to look into those greater abominations. We see many of these things before us today. But there's something very solemn that we have in verse 16. And it says, Between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east. Recently, I read a biography of a man who was converted in India. His name is Ravi Zacharias. Some perhaps have read some of his books. But his biography is entitled Journey from the East to the West. And he was brought up and the environment of Buddhism, Hinduism, every form of ism, I guess, that you could think of, all of these Oriental religions. He was well acquainted with them, but he was wonderfully converted. And I still recall one statement that he makes in his book. He said, It is so sorrowful to see many in the United States and Canada that have been brought up in a privileged nation, looking to the East, looking to Hinduism, looking to Buddhism for all the answers. Well, we're thankful for that diligence of Ezra, that diligence of Nehemiah to repair that which was fallen. And I'm sure our brother made reference to the fact that when Nehemiah went out to view that wall, it was in such a state of disrepair that the donkey could hardly go through the wall. And I'm sure it brought so many tears to his eyes. But it's also solemn to read the fact that after Nehemiah left that city for a period of time, a period of declension set in. And so in the last chapter, there had to be a lot of things set into order. Well, may the Lord desire to keep us, each one, going on faithfully and consistently for Him. How we failed in so many ways. And I just want to look back at Nehemiah for one or two further verses. But Nehemiah prays specifically to the Lord to strengthen me. It's one thing to ask the Lord to strengthen others, but we each have to come to the point where we're each responsible to the Lord, and each of us has to seek His help in going on in our pathway for Him, individually, and then collectively.